Preachers are always on the lookout for a message. It's like we're sitting at our desks, like I can imagine the radio operators in World War II, where they had those great big headphones on, and they've got their radio in front of them, and they're trying to tune in the signal so that it can come in clearly. Well, that's what preachers are like when we're looking for the message. We're tuning in the radio to try and pick up a signal, and we're looking for a message that's meant for you. Well, this message for this week was all about prayer. It started at the beginning of the week, and it has worked its way all the way through yesterday. So we're going to talk about prayer this morning. We are in the third and final module of our adult Christian education program called Living the Questions 2. And this week's topic was prayer, intimacy with God. So the focus was the idea that prayer is the primary method of interaction with God as a way of life, rather than an activity reserved for specific times or places or formulas. That prayer is a testimony or an indication that we as human beings have always been drawn to a deeper knowledge of the unknowable mystery of God, or what sometimes we believers call the divine or the sacred. And haven't we all tried many different ways to get there? Haven't we all tried different approaches to prayer, trying to understand God more deeply? Firstly, we have a tendency to treat God like God is some kind of cosmic vending machine. You insert a prayer into the slot, you pull down the magic prayer arm, and if you're lucky or you've been very, very good, voila, out comes the answer you've been praying for, like magic. I have prayed this prayer. Secondly, Living the Questions also described foxhole prayers. And it goes like this: Lord, if only you'd get me out of fill in the blank, I promise to do fill in the blank. I have prayed this deal-making prayer all my life. When I was a little girl in Catholic school, and whenever I had a big test coming up, I would ask God to help me pass the test. And the deal was, if I passed, I promised God that when I grew up, I would become a nun. So we can see how that deal worked out. Such prayers also assume that God is willing to subject the world's greater good to the needs of one or two righteous people. Living the Questions goes on to explain this type of thinking with an example from the film Bruce Almighty. Now, Jim's character, Bruce, has been imbued with the powers and attributes of God. And he's trying to answer all the world's prayers, but he can't keep up. There's a scene where he's got all these sticky notes that cover everything in the room, and he just can't keep up with his sticky notes. So he decides he's just going to answer yes to all the world's prayers. Chaos ensues, which goes to show that much of what humanity asks for isn't necessarily healthy or reasonable or even legal. Another example of how we pray is through effort. If we pray hard enough or long enough, God will answer my prayer. Now, the issue with this kind of thinking is, what does it mean about us and about God's relationship to us if these prayers are not answered in the way we want? Think about that for a second. If you pray really, really hard for something and you don't get it, what does that imply about the relationship with God? Bishop Spong, in the video for our class, gave an example of this when his wife Cornelia was first diagnosed with cancer. Because she lived much longer than the doctors predicted, one might conclude that the many prayers that were offered up for the wife of the public figure of a bishop were answered. But what if an everyman's wife is diagnosed with cancer? and they aren't as public a figure as a bishop, and they don't know as many people, and so fewer prayers are offered up for her. Does that mean that God wouldn't answer those prayers because there weren't enough of them, that we have to have a quota in order for God to hear us? Of course it doesn't. That way of thinking doesn't even make sense, does it? The problem we fall into with these types of prayers is that if we don't get the desired result, it must mean that we aren't good enough or we aren't faithful enough. Now, I know we have had this feeling this morning with us here, and I am wondering how many I'm preaching truth to this morning when I'm talking about these kinds of prayers. So you remember when I said that the signal I kept hearing all week was about prayer? Yesterday morning, the message continued when we met for our book group. The book the group chose to read was The Way of the Pilgrim. How many of you have ever read The Way of the Pilgrim? It's a Russian classic in the middle of the 19th century. It's written about prayer, specifically what's called the Jesus Prayer. Now, the main character appears to have been a Russian pilgrim of quite simple means. And he's on a mission to find out how, in the words of St. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, to pray without ceasing. So his first stop is to the local church where famous preachers are to be found. He expected to learn what prayer is, how much we need it, what its fruits are, but no one there was able to tell him how to succeed in prayer. So he continues on and he finds some experienced and skilled person who would give him, in conversation, a profound teaching about unceasing prayer. Eventually, he finds a man who has his own chapel, who never leaves his estate and spends all his time in prayer and reading devotional books. So our pilgrim listens to this spiritual teacher speak about fervent prayer, but even so, he couldn't quite get to the bottom of it. So he continues on, and then he meets a monk and asks him how to save his soul. And first off, as monks are wont to do, he offers him a meal. Then he says, I don't know how to explain such a thing, but here is a book you can read, but know that this is a very difficult thing you seek, and very few attain it. So our pilgrim is no closer to understanding prayer. Eventually, on the road, he is overtaken by an old man he believes is a cleric. And so he asks him about spiritual teaching, about how one prays without ceasing, or even what such prayer means. And this is what the old cleric told him. Sit down in silence, lower your head, shut your eyes, breathe out gently, and imagine yourself looking into your own heart. As you breathe out, say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Say it moving your lips gently, or simply say it in your mind. Try to put other thoughts aside. Be calm, be patient, and repeat the process. And that was it. Our pilgrim eventually has learned that prayer is not attained through the wisdom of the world or the desire for knowledge. Prayer is attained simply because we desire it. And life being what it is, we know involves tragedy and loss. And if we're honest, having faith and praying isn't an insurance policy against tragedy, because in the words of Rabbi Harold Kushner, bad things happen to good people. In difficult times when our most heartfelt petitions seem to go unanswered and we feel abandoned by God, we all wonder what we've done to deserve such trials. It's human nature. Even Jesus on the cross uttered the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Wanting to learn how to pray is not about getting what we want or about some magical way of thinking. Being in relationship with God through prayer or meditation or conversation or dialogue strengthens us for living this messy way called life, whatever cross we bear. Prayer is about wanting to have an intimate companion to talk to and be completely honest with, even in the midst of our anger and despair. And it all begins with mindfulness. It's about being in relationship with the mystery of God in the midst of difficulty or confusion. Again, in the words from Living the Questions, pray for healing, not because you will always get well, but so that you can connect with the still mysterious and natural power of healing. Pray for safe travel, not because God will carry your plane to safety, but so that you can be prepared for whatever happens. Pray for the end to a drought, for a job, for a fill-in-the-blank, not because prayer is going to control the weather, a future employer, or anything else, but so you can avoid the temptation to despair of God's goodness in times of difficulty. When people ask me how to pray, what I hear is their desire to know such hope in the midst of this messy way we call life. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you desire to know more deeply the mystery of God through prayer? And this is a raise your hand question. Do you desire to know more deeply? If I could have the ushers come forward and pass out some prayer cards. We have some prayer cards that we made up for you all this morning. The ushers are going to pass them out. And these prayer cards are prayers of mindfulness. Now, what I'd like you to do after you get these prayer cards this morning is I'd like you to take one and post it somewhere where you will see it every day. That could be maybe in the visor in your car as you're driving. Maybe it's in the bathroom mirror. That's where I keep my Jesus prayer, and it's all stain marked and messed up and folded, but it's in my bathroom mirror. Or maybe you keep it in your on your mirror in your dresser. Or if you're a reader like me with reading real old-fashioned books that have pages in them, I could use it as a bookmark. So as you get these prayer cards this morning, I'd like you to take them with you and to keep them somewhere where you will see them every day. When you see this card that the kind ushers are passing out this morning, I want you to recite one of two prayers that are printed on the mindfulness card. In the understanding that when we open our being or our presence or our consciousness to things other than our worries or our concerns or our grocery list or the bills we have to pay or maybe how we're even going to pay those bills, if we shift our focus so that we are receiving that message. Remember me talking about that radio signal that I'm always tuning in? These prayers for mindfulness allow you to tune your radio to receive the signal of God's presence in your life. And I can hear Juliana agree with me back there. So the hope is with these prayers that you take them with you and you keep them with you, however that means, and you say them daily. This will shift your presence in the face of the divine so that all those messages that we keep missing during the course of our day, your signal, you're picking up that signal. So I encourage you and invite you to take these mindfulness prayer cards with you this week. And like the pilgrim in our story, The Way of the Pilgrim, his teacher taught him that the Jesus prayer is all about the prayer of the heart, about the prayer of the heart. So like our Russian pilgrim, may these prayers become the prayer of your heart. And may all God's people say, Amen.